Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Let's look once again to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit." You will know them by their fruit. Look at their life. How do I know if somebody's giving me the truth? How do I know if what I'm hearing is the gospel? Not only pay attention to what they say, but look at the fruit of their life. Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruit." Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? This, of course, is a rhetorical question, and the answer is no. You do not gather grapes from thorn bushes, and you don't gather figs from thistles. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, we need to embrace the Hebrew mind. I know that's difficult for we Westerners because we're not Hebrew people. But the reference to good and bad here has nothing to do with the modern English connotation of morality. Good, like it's, you know, wonderful and it's right and so on and so forth. Bad, it's not good. No, the reference here is to the reflection of character. A tree that has good fruit bears fruit that's consistent with the nature of the tree. So if it's an almond tree, it's going to bear almonds. If it's a peach tree, it'll bear peaches. In that sense, Jesus says, a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A bad tree will bear fruit that is diseased. Maybe a tree will not even bear fruit at all. It may be a sterile tree that has no production at all. Look at the fruit, Jesus says. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. A peach tree can't bear apples, and an orange tree cannot bear peaches. It will produce what is consistent with its character. Look to the fruit. Look at the evidence of the life. It is consistent with the character. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And Jesus says it again, verse 20. Therefore, it's worthy of our attention. Therefore, that by their fruit you will know them. Look at the evidence of the life. Not everyone who says he's a Christian is really a Christian. Not everyone who professes Jesus Christ is a follower of Jesus Christ. We should never be naive enough to take an individual at his word. Not everyone who stands behind a pulpit, not everyone who teaches a Bible class, not everyone who goes on mission, not everyone who conducts an evangelistic campaign is a believer. Not everyone who engages in Christian activity is a Christian. By their fruit, you will know them. Look at their life. Just as there are preachers and teachers who speak the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are preachers and teachers who keep people from the truth of God by their lies and their deceit. And dear friends, if you're not aware of it up till this point, be aware of it now. The world is full of them. They're all around us. Open your eyes, open your ears, and realize that what the Scripture teaches, both Old and New Testament, is happening this very day, this very moment all around us. There are false preachers and false teachers and false religions all around us. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets." Now in the Bible, there are two types of genuine prophets. Some foretold future events. Daniel in the Old Testament, John the Apostle in the New Testament. They spoke of the end of days. Isaiah, 750 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied. He saw down the corridors of time the life of the Messiah. And throughout his book, he writes of this Messiah. He speaks of the life of this coming Christ. Jesus in Mark chapter 13 describes the coming tribulation. Paul the apostle in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 writes about the coming of Jesus and the rise of the Antichrist. There were men and women in the Old Testament and in the New Testament who foresaw future events, talked about them, and wrote about them. Those are one class of prophet. And may I say parenthetically, dear friends, and I know some of you will disagree with me, but that's all right. God has said everything that we need to know about the end times. God has said everything that needs to be said about the end times. If you want to know what's going to be happening in the future, you need to go back and look at the book of Daniel. You need to look at the writings of Paul. You need to look at the writings of John. And you need to see what God has already disclosed, because this type of prophecy is over. This class of prophet no longer exists. There is no new information that we need to have with regard to the future, to the events of God's coming age. It's all been said, and it's all in God's word. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone fool you. God has the final word on what's going to be happening in the future. There's a second class of prophet. A second class of prophet that simply preached and taught the truth of God. People like Jeremiah and Moses, Amos, Peter, and Paul declared the truth of God and called people to repent of their sins and turn to the Lord for forgiveness and for salvation from the coming judgment. They didn't foretell future events. Although some of them described what would happen if people didn't repent, but that was not necessarily foreseeing a future event as much as it was making a conclusion about where certain conduct is going to lead you. That's only logical. Anyone with any sense at all will tell you that certain individuals who engage in certain activities, the conclusion is going to ultimately come about. That's not being prophetic at all. That's just being sensible. But both classes, those who foretold future events and those who simply proclaimed the word of God, were spokesmen for the Lord. And that's how we need to define what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 7. A prophet is a spokesman for the Lord, someone who speaks the word of God. Now, a false prophet is someone who says he speaks for the Lord, but in reality, he doesn't. He doesn't speak the truth of God at all. As a matter of fact, he only speaks for himself. Now, there will always be, and it's beyond me. It stumps me. I wrestle with this. Nancy and I, we talk about this from time to time, and we just, you know, we don't understand it. We just can't comprehend it. There has always been and there will always be an eager audience for false religions, for false preachers and teachers. Why? Why do people want to reject the truth and believe a lie? Well, the Bible tells us, when we search the scriptures, it comes to no surprise to any of us, if we really know the word of God, people want to hear what's pleasant. Amen? Y'all like to hear what's pleasant, don't you? I like to hear what's pleasant. We like to hear what's pleasant. We like to hear what's flattering. We like to hear what appeases the conscience. And it doesn't make any difference if what we hear is false, if it's dangerous, or if it's spiritually damning. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear what we want to hear. And sadly enough, in this modern enlightened age that we're living in, most people don't want to hear the truth. They only want to hear what pleases them. In Jeremiah chapter 5, you don't need to turn there, but note it. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31, the prophet Jeremiah says, "An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so." Can you imagine? The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and God's people are okay with that. And Jeremiah says this is an astonishing and horrible thing. The prophet Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 22 verses 25 and 26, The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. Now, here in the Hebrew, the concept of the precious, the treasured things and the precious things, the human soul and spirit. These false prophets and these false priests have spoken to the hearts and the spirits and the souls of individuals, and these individuals have turned themselves gladly over to these false prophets. They have taken from God a treasure and a precious thing, the soul and the spirit of men. They have made many widows in the land. Widows. You mean these false prophets and these false priests are murderous individuals? No. Understand the Hebrew concept here. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel was the bride of God. Just like in the New Testament, the church is the bride of Christ. And to take God out of the midst of his people, to take Christ out of the midst of the church, is to make the people of God a widow. You've taken the husband away from the bride. That's what the prophet is speaking of. These false prophets and priests have made widows of God's people. They no longer have a husband. They no longer have one to love and to be loved by. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between holy and unholy. And do you know, dear friends, that is the problem that we have today in modern day religion, modern day Christianity. People don't know the difference between what's holy and what's not. We don't. We know what this preacher says, and we know what that evangelist says, and we know what this missionary says, and we know what that teacher says. But most of us, when it comes to understanding and deciding between what is holy and what is not holy, we ain't got a clue. We just know what people say. But we don't know what God has said. And the prophet says, because we're not familiar with this lover of our soul, because we're not familiar with the author and finisher of our faith, because we're not familiar with the one who has saved us, then we can't distinguish between, we can't understand between what is holy and what is not holy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 11 and verse 24, "Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. False Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, even if possible, the elect." This is how sharp these guys are. This is how sharp Satan is. This is how cunning he is. This is how deceptive he is. That he can even creep into the church and lead God's people astray. Listen. in the last 100 years or so, maybe the last 150 years or so, there has been a great increase, there has been a great rise in what we call cults. Religious groups and churches and individuals and preachers and teachers who are religious, but they're not saved, they're not Christian. Now they pose as Christians, they pass themselves off as being Christians, but they're cultic. They are individuals that are leading people away from the Lord God. And one of the, you know, it's not only a phenomenon that these things have even arisen in such an enlightened age that we're living in, but one of the more astounding things, one of the more astonishing things is that many of the people who flock to these religions come from mainline evangelical churches. They come from churches where the Bible is taught, where the gospel is preached to people who ought to know better. But they've been deceived. Jesus said that time will happen. And beloved, it's happening now. And it's been happening for a long, long time. The Apostle Paul, as he's getting ready to leave the island of Miletus, he gathers the elect, the elders of the church, where he started a church there, ministered to individuals there, became Christian, started a church there, and he's beginning ready to leave. And he says in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, "For I know this, that after my departure, when I get on the boat and I leave," Paul says, "savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." From within the church itself, false prophets will arise. False teachers will arise. False doctrine will arise. Even in the church itself, a false gospel will be declared and received. Can you imagine? The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. "But there were also false prophets among the people." He's speaking about past tense. "Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction, and many will follow." Not a few, not some, not one or two, but many will follow. They will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. They'll turn them away from Jesus. And the people will gladly be turned. Now, those are just two passages from the Old and three from the New. But they're consistent in warning us about the age that you and I are living in and the phenomenon of false prophets and teachers, a false gospel and false churches. And yet, for the most part, many of us are blind to it. Why? Well, let me explore that with you for just a moment. There have always been preachers and teachers of a false gospel. And there will always be false preachers and false teachers. There will always be a false gospel. Wherever God sends his ministers, Satan will send his minions. Wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached and taught, a false gospel from the devil will be echoed in their ears. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets." Now, who are they? And how do we identify them? Now listen up, dear friends, because most of the people you listen to and much of the literature that you read, you have to question. You have to examine carefully. You have to consider, does it square with the Word of God? Now, not every false prophet, not every false teacher, not every false religion will have all of these characteristics inherent within them, but they will have the majority of them. They will practice the majority of these things, if not all of them. So let me just give you what the Bible says that these individuals will be involved with. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruits." These individuals are not called and they're not sent by the Lord God. How do we know this? Well, first of all, they don't preach the doctrine which is according to godliness. They don't preach godliness. They don't preach righteousness. They don't preach the narrow way that leads to life. They don't preach the straight road that leads to God. They preach about everything else that's under the sun. They teach about everything else that you can imagine. But they do not preach and they do not teach people the way of godliness. Why? Because it's too hard. But more than that, they don't preach godliness because they're not godly. How can you preach what you don't know? Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 3, beware of these individuals. They do not preach a doctrine of godliness. They preach peace. Peace when there is no peace. No peace with God, no peace with each other, and no peace with self. Jeremiah 23:17 and 1 Thessalonians 5:3. They preach, Isaiah says, they preach smooth things. Wrong things and deceitful things. Words that flatter. Words that are contrary to the truth. Words that are deceptive. Smooth things, things we want to hear. Paul says things that tickle the ear. A third thing, listen. They make the way to heaven easy. False prophets will make the way to heaven easy. Well, I thought the way to heaven is easy. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said the gate that leads to life is narrow. And the way to the Lord is straight. It is not easy to enter through this gate. It is not easy to walk this pathway. But false prophets and false religions will make the way to heaven easy. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. And they will tell you there are other ways to heaven. Just be a good person. Go to church every now and again. Pay your taxes. Don't be mean to your neighbors. Be a good worker on the job. Be a good student at school. Don't talk back to mom and dad. Get along with your brothers and your sisters. Be kind to your wife or to your husband. Don't kick the dog. They'll tell you everything under the sun that you need to do in order to get to heaven. But dear friends, we don't get to heaven by what we do. We get to heaven by what He has done. That's why the gate is narrow. We can only get there through Jesus. But they'll have you doing everything under the sun. They'll have you chanting things you don't understand. They'll have you selling flowers in the airport. They'll have you knocking on doors and handing out literature till your knuckles are bloody. They'll have you crawling on your knees and striking your back until it bleeds. They'll have you lighting candles. They'll have you giving your fortunes over. They'll have you saying prayers until the cows come home. They'll have you in all kinds of mission trips and all kinds of activities in order to earn your way to glory, but there is only one way to glory, and that way has already been earned through the blood of Jesus. But they won't tell you that. They invent easy ways to heaven. They pander to the corrupt nature. What does that mean? It simply means that they gratify corruption. And not blatantly. They'll just make you feel good for who you are and for what you're doing. It's a feel-good faith. It's a feel-good religion. What do I mean by that? I'll get to that in just a moment. They never speak to anything that convicts you of sin. Why? Because they never preach against sin. They never teach about sin. Or they'll talk about mistakes or errors in judgment. Or flaws in human character. but they'll never talk about rebellion against God and the judgment of God upon that rebellion. They'll never tell you that you have profaned the name of Christ by the things that you think and by the things that you do and the things that you say. They will never tell you that you bring shame to the kingdom and to the glory of God by the way you live your lives. They will never talk about sin. They'll only talk about making a bad decision. They'll never speak to anything that convicts of sin. They'll never point to the need for a Savior. They'll only tell you you just need to get right with another individual. Nancy and I, we were two movies that we watched, wasn't it? And both of them pretty much had the same thing. One individual was on his deathbed, and he calls an Easterner in, and he says, you know, he talks about all of the bad things that he's done in his life. He didn't know this guy from Adam. Or from Jack. But there they were in the hospital room. What do we need to do? We need to forgive each other. Here was a guy who was dying on his deathbed, and the answer to his spiritual need was, we just need to learn to forgive each other. That was it. That'll prepare you for eternity. But that's the philosophy that's pervading our society nowadays. We just need to get along with each other. Their preaching seldom searches the conscience, scarcely addresses evil, rarely humbles the spirit or causes the hearer to mourn over his sinful condition before a holy God. They'll speak in ways that make us feel good about ourselves, pleased with our thoughts and our motives and our conduct, and cause us to be content in our false assurances. Why? Because they never talk about Jesus. They always talk about you and your neighbor or your family or your relationships and how to make them better. But they never talk about Jesus. They promote themselves. Listen, they promote themselves through celebrities and politicians and other powerful and influential people who are in the public eye. They manipulate the public media to their favor, and they use Christian language and the forms of faith to gain prominence and power. They did it in the days of Jesus. They did it in the days of the prophets of old, and they do it today. But what about the TV? You know, I listen to Charles Stanley, you know, and he's on the public airways. I listen to Adrian Rogers, and he's on the public airways. I listen to a number of different, you know, and are you saying they're false prophets? Because they're on, they're powerful individuals and they're influential and they're in the public eye? No. But those individuals, they're not promoting themselves. They're on the public airways so that you could hear the gospel. The false prophets are always promoting themselves. Get my latest book. Go through my latest program. Sign up for my latest deal. They're always promoting their agenda, themselves. They replace Jesus as the spiritual authority of the church and demand that that church be loyal to him. David Koresh, familiar with that name? Jim Jones, familiar with that name? And so many others like these guys. They demand that their people follow them even to the death, and their people are willing to do that. They're obsessed with power, with money, with popularity, and with sex. They claim to be the only ones who know God's truth. Boy, do we hear that nowadays. All other churches are false religions, and everybody else is going to hell except the ones who follow my teachings, the ones who are members of my church. Why? Because I've got the special glasses that can read the golden tablets. I'm the only one who knows spiritual truth. That's a false prophet. They're exclusive. You're not a member of my group, you're out. They continually seek the audience of powerful and popular people in politics, finance, and in the media. They manipulate or rewrite the Bible to support and to reflect their beliefs. And we see this happening all the time. Had a fellow come to me last Sunday and said, "Pastor, somebody left their Bible out on the foyer table." And I said, "Oh, well, maybe their name's written in the Bible." And so I went out and I looked. I didn't find a name in there. And it was a good thing because it was from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. A religious organization that has rewritten the Bible to reflect their doctrinal truth, which is not doctrinal truth at all. They turn God's grace into a license to sin. You're okay just as you are. You don't need to change a thing. Just be yourself. God loves you. God loves all people. God's going to gather all His children together in the final days. You don't need to worry about this, that, and the other. Just be cool. Just kick back and breeze along. They take the grace of God and they turn it into a license to sin. Just go ahead and do what you do and God will take care of the rest. Don't worry about it. That's what these people are all about. Well, what do we do about them? Is there anything we can do about them? Sadly, no. Because we live in a society that permits religious freedom, which means that even witches and warlocks and priests of Satan have the right to start their churches and to engage in their practices so long as it doesn't harm human beings or animals, more animals than human beings. But still, we have in this country the freedom of religion and the freedom from religion. So, you can't take these people to court. And you can't sue them. Or you can't get them off the airwaves. It's an amazing thing. Don't you find it amazing? Contradictory? It's a conundrum, isn't it? Every other religion can preach and teach and hand out their literature and get on the airwaves and do everything and anything they want to do on campuses and schools and universities, so on and so forth. But you say the name of Jesus and they'll throw you in jail. You can talk about Satan all you want to. You can start a church on the corner and you know, get support. You can believe whatever you want to believe and teach people to follow after you that will corrupt their lives, that will damn their souls, that will do anything and everything that is immoral and indecent, and you've got public support. But you build a church for Jesus Christ and you've got to jump through all kinds of hoops just to even turn a spade of dirt. And don't even talk about him on a school campus. They'll send you home. They'll suspend you from school. My youngest daughter went to high school and she wore a t-shirt that had a Christian logo on it. Her teacher told her, "You either turn that shirt inside out or go home and change your clothes." Tell me who's the Lord of this world. There's not a whole lot we can do about them because of the freedoms that we enjoy. But there are certain things the Bible teaches us to do in order to deal with them. First of all, Jesus said in Matthew 4:24, "Listen carefully to what they say and observe carefully as to what they do. Then search your spirit, search your mind, but above all else, search the Word of God to see if they speak and live the truth." Listen to what they say. Don't believe what they say, but listen to what they say and square it with the Word of God. Now, I remember back when I was in college in Riverside, not 1,000 years ago or 1,000,000 miles away, Dr. Walter Martin came to campus to speak to the students. And we had a general assembly of all of the students on campus in the Book of Life building, which held about 500 people. And Dr. Martin spoke in the afternoon every day for an entire week. Now, Dr. Walter Martin was the Bible answer man, for those of you who can remember that far back. It was quite a while ago. But he's since died and gone on to be with the Lord in glory. And every session, every day before he got into, and he wrote a book, The Kingdom of the Cults, and his purpose for being on campus that week was to talk to us about identifying and dealing with the cults. Those religious groups that are non-Christian but pass themselves off as being Christian. And at the beginning of every session, he told us two things. He said, number one, know your Bible. Know your Bible. The cults, Satan himself, his minions, his demons, false preachers, false teachers, false evangelists and missionaries, false churches, false religions are banking on the fact that you don't know what the Bible says. And you know what? They're right. That's why many of these cult groups feed off of evangelical church memberships, because the people who go to those churches don't know what the Bible says. And so they're easily duped into believing a lie. So the first thing he said, know your Bible. Secondly, know what you believe and know why you believe it. Bottom line, know your Bible. Because everything you believe as a Christian should be based upon the Word of God. So if you know what you believe, then you should know why you believe it. So know the Bible. In other words, know the Bible. Test everything. Secondly, test everything they say with the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. The word test means to examine and assess. Come to a conclusion. Put these individuals, the words that they speak and the lifestyle that they live, put them to the acid test. As a metallurgist does his metals. And if that individual stands the test of God's word, approve him. But if he does not, reject him. Oh, but preacher, that's not nice. You're not being hospitable. You're not being gracious. You're not being tolerant. It's not good manners to reject people that don't agree with you. I'm not talking about people who don't agree with you, dear friends. I'm talking about people who don't agree with the Word of God and say that they are Christian. I'm talking about people who pass themselves off as spokesmen for the Lord, but they don't even know the Lord. They don't even know what the Lord says. It's not being unchristian. It's not being not gracious. It's not being intolerant. It's being honest with the Word of God. If an individual says he's a Christian but doesn't live by the Word of God and doesn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's not a Christian. That's just the truth. Amen? Thirdly, confront them and expose them. Oh my. Confront and expose? We don't do that. It's not nice to confront people and expose people. We do it all the time. We're always confronting people and exposing people. Every single day that we live, we're confronting and exposing. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, and for reproof, elegō, which means exposure. The Word of God profits what it teaches us, but it also profits in that it exposes the lie. It's profitable for correction, for instruction, and in righteousness. I know it's not popular. I know it's even dangerous nowadays. People will think you're narrow-minded. People will think that you're intolerant. But dear friends, the truth is the truth. Amen? And we need to know the truth, we need to speak the truth, we need to live the truth, and by our lives we will be exposing the lies of the false prophets and the false religions. Finally, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. John the Apostle writes in 2 John 1, 7 through 11, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. Many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses, and that means to go across the things that the Bible teaches, to go across the things that God has revealed to us. Whoever goes across the things that God has given us, the truth, and does not abide, that means to live in, to abide means to live, who does not abide, does not live in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter how sincere they are. If they run across the truth of God, and if they're not living in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is not living in them, they're a false prophet, they're a false teacher, they're a part of a false religion, and they preach and teach a false gospel. The truth is the truth. He who abides, John says, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Well, that's just inhospitable. Well, if you want to do as the Holy Scriptures say and participate with them and entertain them, be a part of what they're about, go right ahead. But don't expect the blessing of God upon it. The Bible says, do not entertain them. Do not even greet them. Do not even bid them a good day. They come to the door and they knock on the door and they want you to have their literature. And you say, no, thank you. I have my own faith. I have my own Bible. But y'all have a good day. God be with you. John says, don't even do that. Now, I used to like to invite them into the house and sit down and talk to them about Jesus. Because in my mind, they're lost souls. And Jesus died on the cross to save them. Amen. And I want them to know the truth. I want them to know Jesus. And I want to talk to them about Jesus. They don't come to my house anymore. I don't know why. But what John is talking about here is inviting them into your hospitality. Don't do it. Give them the truth of God's word. And watch how many excuses they'll come up with on how they need to leave. They've got another appointment, got to run, got to go, don't have time. It's amazing how they love to talk to you about what they believe, but you start talking to them about Jesus, they got to get up and go. John says, don't do it. Don't listen to them anymore. Turn the TV off or change the channels. Turn the radio to a different channel. Don't receive their literature. Don't buy their Bibles. Don't support financially their ministries, their mission trips, their activities. Don't partner with them in any enterprise. Don't invite them into your fellowship. Don't even bid them a good day. Why? Because they pass themselves off as those who are citizens of the kingdom of God, but they are not. They're liars and they're deceivers. Oh, but they're sincere. They're sincerely wrong. Well, preacher, I don't know if I like that. That's pretty tough. That's pretty hard. Well, hell is hot and eternity is long. And if we don't expose people to the truth of God's word, then we're complicit in their destruction. And I would rather be tough and hard on souls that have been blinded and deceived by the lies of Satan than to be gracious and kind and let that soul go to hell separated from God. Wouldn't you? Or maybe you wouldn't. But that's how Satan has so conditioned us nowadays, to be so touchy-feely, to be so, you know, so wanting to accommodate everybody, so everybody get along. You know, we're all going down this stream of life together in the same boat. We just got to make accommodations for everybody. No, we don't. The only accommodation we have to make in this life is the truth of God's word. That's the only accommodation we have to make in this life. Speak, teach, preach, Live the truth of God's word and let God's word have its impact on the souls that you navigate around. At work, at school, in your neighborhoods, wherever you recreate, whatever you do with whomever you do it with, let the truth of God have an impact on them. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount at the very beginning, let your good works so shine before men that they may see your Father, that they may let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We need to have an impact upon our world for truth. Satan has had his clutches on our lives far too long. We need to let the truth of God live and breathe in us. Amen? Father in heaven, I pray you'll help us to understand how important it is to be a witness for everyone around us. The truth of your word. I know there are people who don't believe it. I know there are people who don't accept it. I know people who argue against it. But that's all right. The truth is the truth. Father, you will bring conviction upon those souls who are ready to receive the truth of your word. And those who are not, Father, your spirit will move on. God, help us to be so discerning that we're aware of those individuals around us who speak the truth and those who speak lies. Those who live the truth and those who live the lie. Help us, Father, to be so discerning of the spirits around us that we ourselves will not be duped by their secret, cunning, sly manner. And present to us a false gospel, Lord, that we're so willing to believe and trust. God, help us to know the Bible, to know your truth, to know the word, so that we can see the counterfeit immediately, so that we can deal with the counterfeit effectively, so that we might keep our lives from the counterfeit faithfully. But Father, help us to reach those who are in the throes of false doctrine, in the throes of false religions, under the sway of false preachers and teachers. Help us to deal with them with the truth from your word. There may be one here today, Lord God, who has come to understand that they have been duped by Satan. They have been led to believe a lie. That, Lord, they've been taught every way under the sun is acceptable to you, but they've not been taught the way of Jesus. Father, there may be one here today who's come out of a tradition of false teachings. And the Holy Spirit of God has opened their eyes to understand the truth of your word. There may be one here today who's come out of a church, Lord, that declared one thing but lived another. And they realize the lies and the deceit that they've been exposed to. Father, there may be one here today who's ready to put faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There may be one here today who's ready to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. There may be one here today who's ready for birth in the kingdom of God. I pray your Holy Spirit will stir up in them the courage, the faith to take the stand for Christ and to come and confess him as Lord and Savior of their lives. I pray that today that soul will be saved and brought into the kingdom. But I pray for my brothers and sisters also that we will have the knowledge and the wisdom and the courage to take a stand for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will not be so accommodating to people who are believing a lie, whose souls are damned, unless we tell them the truth of the gospel. Father, we give you this time and we give you the decisions that we make even now, that they might be honoring in your sight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Stand with me if you will, please. David is going to lead us in a time of decision. It's a time for us to decide, what are we going to do with Jesus? Now, I know, dear friends, that in many churches, I know that an invitation, a public invitation, is passé. A lot of churches don't do that anymore. But we do that here, and as long as I'm pastor here, we will continue to offer a public invitation. Why? Because I do not believe the Bible teaches in closet Christianity. Jesus died publicly for my sins, and I am willing to stand publicly for Him as my Savior. And I invite you to do the same thing. Scripture says, if you will confess with your lips the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. But Jesus also told those men publicly, get up from where you're at, come and follow me. And they did. And He's asking the same thing of you, even now. Get up from where you're at and come follow me publicly. Jesus wants you to be His disciple. In a world that is dark with sin, He wants you to be one of His rays of light. And you can't do that sitting at home. You can't do that sitting in a pew. You need to be living the life of Christ wherever you're at. You can only do that publicly, dear friends. So I invite you publicly to come to Jesus. If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior of your life, I invite you to come and trust in Him now. If you are a Christian but you've never been baptized biblically, scripturally, I invite you to come and present yourself as a candidate for baptism. Maybe you're looking for a church family or church home. You come and present yourself as a candidate for membership in this fellowship. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray. Maybe there are some things you're wrestling with, some things that are overtaking you, and you just need to lay them before the Lord God. I pray that you'll come and just kneel before the Lord and commit them to the Lord. But whatever your heart's desire is, whatever the Holy Spirit of God is moving you to do, do it now, even as we sing, David, lead us.
And everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. The
Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.